Right, so we're back after the break. Baruch Hashem, we're right at the bottom of Nun Beis Omud Beis. V'loy hoyochatzu b'Yerushalayim. We said that the light of the Simchat Beis Hashem was so bright that every chatz in Yerushalayim was illuminated. Says the Gemara Tana. We learned in a brayso. Isha hoyso b'ireres chitim. A woman would be boirer chitim. She could select wheat. La'oir shall beis hashoiva, by the light of the oir of the beis hashoiva. In other words, I assume to be boirer chitim. What does that mean? You have chitim, which is mixed with the kernels and all the other psalas. In order to be boirer the chitim, to be able to select chitim, you have to have very good light, because you have to be able to select the right one and not take the wrong one. So in order to do that, if you have to have very good light, and she was able to do that, well, clearly, you can get a picture of what type of light we're dealing with. Now, there is an interesting question. If you have a look at the top Tosfos, Isha Isa Boireres Chitin L'Simchas Beis HaShoeva B'Yerushalmi Parech. In the Gemara Yerushalmi, we're learning the Bavli, but in the Yerushalmi it asks there, Heich Boireres. What do you mean that she was Boirer the Chitin by the light of the Beis HaShoeva? How indeed was she Boirer? You're not allowed to. Why would you not be allowed to? Ha'ika me'ila. Surely by doing so there is me'ila. What does me'ila mean? You're not allowed to use something which belongs to Hekdesh. Deshemen upsila ha'yushal Hekdesh. The oil and the psila. Remember, what was the wick made out of, by the way?
Clothes.
The clothes of the Kohenim. It's all Kodesh. Hayushal Hekdesh. So therefore, this is, by the way, a very interesting chiddush. If the shemen and the psila were Hekdesh, so you're not allowed to be moil. You can't use them. Now here, they're not using them. What are they using? They're using the light which is produced as a result of the shemen or the psila. And yet the Gemara in Yerushalmi still asks the question, how could you do so? That would constitute mi'ila, big chiddush. So how can the Gemara say that a woman would be boirer the chitin by the light of the menorah, by the light of the Simchat Beis HaShoeva? You're not allowed to. That's me'ila. Why is the me'ila? Because the shemen and the psila, they're all hektish. Umashani, and what does the Gemara answer there? The famous phrase, the koil, umare, vereach. Is that called mi'ila? You're not using them, you're just benefiting from the sounds. Or if I see, if I look at the Beis HaMikdash and I enjoy looking at it, is that Issa mi'ila? That's mara. Or if the waft of the korbonis blows into my backyard, say, oh wow, that, oh. We say with regard to this, mi'ila hu deleka. Comma. It might well be true that there is no me'ila from koil mare v'reach. Ha isura ika, but it's still awesome. At least it's awesome in Rabbanon. So even though it's true that we have a principle that there's no me'ila with koil mare v'reach, all that means is that there's no issa me'ila do'iraisa. But there still is an issa d'Rabbanon. Therefore, the Yerushalmi's terror is very unsatisfactory according to the principle of the Bavli. If the Bavli tells us that what? That koil maravareach, although there's no me'ila v'iraisa, but there still is an issa d'rabbanon, well, if that's the case, we're back to square one. Why are we back to square one? How could this woman be boira the chitim by the light of the candles? It's true that there's no me'ila d'iraisa, because it's just kol maravareach, but nonetheless, it is at least asta midrabbanon, and therefore we're really back to square one. We haven't really answered our question to the full. Yesh Lo Yimah, says Tosfos,
The Boireres Lav Dafke.
You're right, when the Gemara says that she was Boirer Lav Dafke. What does Lav Dafke mean? It's non-literal. Ella, what does it mean? Kloima. It means to say Hoisto Yechoylo Livroy. It was so bright that she would in theory be able to be Boirer Meroiv Oiro, from the great light. But not that she practically did. It's true. To practically do so would be Osa. Perhaps not Midoraisa, at least Midorabono. It doesn't mean that she did. What does it mean?
She was capable of
that. But it was so bright, it's a description of how bright. It was that bright that in theory she would be able to be Boirachitim, but not that halachically she would be allowed to do so, and therefore not that she did do so. Like you said before, it's not figurative as in just a moshel. It is literal, but it's just not literal in the fact that she didn't actually do it. But the moshel is true.
So, derabbanan, you can't, those three things.
Kol marvareich, right.
But everyone benefited from the light.
No, but that's different because that was the benefit that it was given for. In other words, if I say to you, how can you eat a korban? Are you benefiting it from it? The answer is yes, but that benefit is permissible because that was the mitzvah.
So from a distance based way, I'm benefiting from the light.
Right, if that's the mitzvah.
Like a drop change on the floor, I'm getting
right. So if I don't use it, so right. Right, that's not the mitzvah. Therefore, to take the korban home and eat it is mutter, but to take the korban home and start doing other things with it will be awesome. So for the benefit for which it is designated, that's not me'ilah. To the contrary, that is the mitzvah. But any benefit for which it was not designated, that's me'ilah. It might not be do'i raisa, because it's kol marvareach. Nonetheless, it is osmid rabbonon. So it says, you're right. It is osmid rabbonon, therefore it was not really done. If it was not really done, we have to translate that the Gemara means that she could, in theory, had she so desired, she could have been Boirer Chitim because it was so bright. Okay. Says the Gemara, very, very strange Gemara. Chasidim va'anshei ma'isa. If you remember, the Mishnah said, the Chasidim va'anshei ma'isa, they were juggling, and they said, Shirois v'sishbochois. What exactly did they say? Which Shirois v'sishbochois did they say in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Tana Rabbanan. Yesh mehem oimrim. Some of them said they praised HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this way. Ashrei yalduseinu sheloi baisha es zikneseinu. Very, very strange. Now I'll find it here. Very, very interesting shira, very interesting choice of Tishbochis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ashrei Yalduseinu. Praiseworthy is our youth, Yalduseinu, Shiloi Baisho es Zikneseinu, which did not shame our old age. What does that mean that's not, didn't shame our old age? Eilu Chasidim V'Anshei Maisa. This is the praise the Chasidim and the Anshei Maisa gave. In other words, have a look at Rashi. Yesh mehem oimrim, hainu top Rashi, tushvachta. Like we said in davening today. Where did we say this word in davening today? No. This actual word.
Kaddish.
Tushvachta v'nechamosa damiram v'omom v'bromim. Tushbachosa is the phrase. Sahainu tushbachto tushbachosa. The masnisin that is mentioned, the praise that is mentioned in the Mishnah, i.e., shemeshabshin laHakadosh Baruch Hu, they were meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu al kach about the following. Eilu chasidim kol chasid have a chasid meikaroi. The Chassidim being referred to over here were people who were righteous right from the beginning, always righteous. And that's what it means, says Rashi, Shaloi Baisha. Shaloi Avarnu Aveira Bialduseinu. One second. They were not over Aveiras in our youth, levayish as ziknei feinu, of which we will be embarrassed in our old age. In other words, these chassidim were not people who were initially over averus. Soon we'll see there'll be people who are bali tshuva who were initially over averus. Doesn't mean that over here. Here it's referring to people who are always tzaddikim right from the beginning, right from their young age, and that's what they were said. Ashrei, praiseworthy that our youth did not embarrass our old age. In other words, we can look back at our youth and say, we have nothing to be embarrassed of. We did mitzvahs then as well. The other type of praise, if you continue, v'yeshmehen oimrin, there were those who said to the contrary, Ashrei ziknoseinu shekipra es yalduseinu. Happy is our old age, which has atoned, which has been machaper for our youth. Who's talking there? The Bali Tshuva, says the Gemara, Elu Bali Tshuva. The people who are over terrible averas. So they can't say, oh, we look back at our youth and we're very proud of it. That didn't embarrass our old age. Perhaps it did. Rather, we can at least say that in our old age, having done tshuva, we have now atoned for we did at an early age. Eilu ve'eilu oimrim, both the chassidim and the anshei maisa and the balei tshuva would both say, Ashrei mi sheloi chata. Happy and praiseworthy is the person who never sinned in the first place. But mi shechata, but somebody who has been over Aveira, Yoshuv v'yimchol loy, let him. What does Yoshuv mean?
Return.
In other words, do tshuva. Let him do tshuva v'yimchol loy, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will forgive him. Why this was the appropriate praise during the Simchas Leisheva is not immediately clear. And why this reference to Chassidim and Bali Tshuva and doing tshuva b'chlal. Although, one must remember, of course, the backdrop. When is this taking place? Just a few days after Yom Kippur, which is the Zman of the Tshuva. We've just finished the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. So if it is appropriate to talk about those who didn't do Averes, and those who did Averes in the Chayza B'Tshuva, or the possibility of being Chayza B'Tshuva.
The pre-Hashanah Rabbah too. Right?
Pre-Hashanah Rabbah as well. Quite right. Okay, here we have now another, I think, very famous Gemara. Tanya. Omru Olav al Hillel Hazokin. They said about Hillel Hazokin. What did he famously say? Kishahoya Somach b'Simchas Beis HaShe'eva. When he would rejoice in the Simchas Beis HaShe'eva, what would he say? Omar Kein. He would say the following. Imani Kan Akol Kan. If I'm here, everybody is here. Ve'im eini kan, and if I'm not here, mikan, who is here? So when you read that at first glance, it does not sound very modest. What does it mean? If I'm here, everybody's here. Nobody else matters. And if I'm not here, you might as well close down the party. Nobody else is worthwhile. What does that mean?
One of Hillel's statements in others, you shouldn't say anything that's not clear in the beginning.
Well, Hillel is definitely described in the Gemara and Shabbos as an onov, being modest, and doesn't fit in over here. The Mishnah in Ovis that you're referring to, I believe in the first parak, actually. I'm not sure if it'll be in the Siddha. Okay. Yes, yes. So when you see a phrase like this, we know obviously this does have to be figurative. It can't be literal. Well, that's what Hillel is saying. And even if he did mean it, why is he saying it? Everybody should know when I come to the party, that's it. It's made. And if not. Thank you. So Hillel said, "Have a mitamid of shal Aaron, oyev shalom, v'rediv shalom, oyev esabrius and karvan atayra." Imein ani li mili. That was Hillel. I'm not for myself, mili ochshani la'asmi mo'ani. In other words, what was Hillel saying? Nobody else can help me out. I've got to be my own tzaddik. I can't rely on other people's zechuyos. Imein ani li, if I'm not for myself, mili, who can ochshani la'asmi, and even if when I am trying to help myself, mo'ani, what am I already? So you see quite clearly over here that what? The Hillel is certainly very modest. Hillel Hazokin, I don't think we would have minded being in Hillel Hazokin's shoes. And what does he say? Shanila asked me money. Even when I am for myself, I can't rely on other people much as I would like to, and I can't rely on myself either because Moani. So on the one hand he's very modest, on the one hand the other, what is he saying over here? When I come to the Simchas Beis HaShaiva, HaKoyel Kan, then you should know everybody's here. What does that mean? So let's see one or two interpretations. We'll see a Rashi, maybe a Tosfos, and we'll discuss a very fascinating explanation of the Ksav. Come on. Says Rashi, Im Ani Kan. Says Rashi, Doiresh Hoyol Rabbi. He was darshaning to the rabbin. He was giving a drasha. He was proclaiming to the rabbin, "Shelo yechtu," that they shouldn't sin. Bishmoi shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu. And he was speaking in the name of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. For example, when Moshe Rabbeinu, when you read a pasuk in the Torah and it says, "Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe le'mayor," or "Vayomer Moshe," and Moshe says, "Ani Hashem." What does that mean, Ani Hashem? Moshe is saying, I am God? No. He's just quoting HaKadosh Baruch. This is what HaKadosh Baruch says. So when, says Rashi, when Hillel says, Imani Kan, all he is quoting, as it were, HaKadosh Baruch. So who's the Ani in the pasuk over here? HaKadosh Baruch. And that's what he's saying. Imani Kan, HaKoyel Kan, quote unquote. What does that mean? Calls man as long sha'ani, that I, who's I? HaKadosh Baruch Chofetz b'bayis hazem, as long as I desire this building, which building? The Beis HaMikdash v'shchinosi, and my shchino shiruya boy resides in it, then yehi kvoidoi kayom. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kavod is maintained. V'yavoyu HaKoyel Kan. And then everybody comes over here. So, when he says, Imani Kan HaKoyel Kan. If I, who's I? If I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, am here. If my Shina is residing here, then HaKoyel Kan. Then everybody comes and it's a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. But you should know, if you sin, va'asalik shchinosi, and I remove my shchina, then what? Mi yavei kan? Who's going to be here? Nobody. So what it really is, Hillel was encouraging Klal Yisrael not to do aveiras. Imani kan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if I am here, not if Hillel is here, if I am here, then everybody comes to bask in the glory of the shchina, and there's a tremendous kiddush Hashem. But in Einani kan, if I'm not over here, then mi kan, Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. So mokum of ruins, nobody goes there anymore. That's what it means.
Should the word kavod be kavodi? Shouldn't it be? Because everything else is in the first person.
Yeah.
Because if he's quoting in the name of Kodesh Baruch Hu, so you say, okay, for my honor, okay, the people will come to be submitted.
Yeah. So yeah, you're right. Yeah? It means kavodi kind. Yeah, 100%. Now, Tosfos learns a little bit differently. He learns the Ani is referring to Klal Yisrael, but I want to share with you a phenomenal pshat that I once saw, in fact I once said in the Thursday night parashas here, 2 or 3 years ago in parashas Vo'eiro. Because in parashas Vo'eiro, towards the beginning of the parasha, says the pasuk that we just quoted before. Vaydamar Elokim al Moshe, Vayomer Elov, Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Leimoir, to say, Ani Hashem. So what does that mean? He has to go to Klal Yisrael and say what? Okay, Rabbi Yisai, Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. So you could learn like that. That he went to Klal Yisrael and he says, Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. And they all understood that really what was he doing? He was just quoting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Ksav the Kabbalah. The Sefer Ksav Kabbalah has nothing to do with Kabbalah, by the way. Ksav Kabbalah lived about 150 years or so, and his Pirush on the Torah, it was actually recently reproduced by Rabbi Lubling from Rabbi Chemesh, who's a great grandson. He produced a new edition of Ksav Kabbalah Ala Torah. If you look in the Grosh, we'll have it there, $5. The Lubling edition. The Ksav Kabbalah, his Pirush Ala Torah, very, very much focuses on what we call etymology. You know what etymology is? Nothing to do with eating. It is the study of words. He was a big expert in Jewish grammar and Jewish phraseology. So he fascinatingly suggests that when it says Vaydabar Hashem Moshe Lemar Ani Hashem, it means something completely different. What does Ani mean? I. He says, no, it doesn't mean that. We had a pasuk in Parashas Mishpatim just a couple of weeks ago. Does anybody remember the following pasuk? Towards the beginning, it says, Makei ish vomeis mois yumos. A person smites somebody else and kills him, he deserves to be killed. Now, va'asher loitzodo. If somebody did not hunt down his fellow friend, rather v'ha'elokim ino liyodoi, the rabbi Kodesh Baruch Hu organized that what? That he should kill him. Samti l'cha mokoim asher yonu shara, I give you a place to which you can run. And what's that called? La'ori miklot. Okay. What is the word they're used in the pasuk? V'haloikim ino liyodei. What does ino mean liyodei? It means he, this murderer, did not actually deliberately go and murder somebody else, but rather Elohim ino, Kadosh Baruch Hu caused it, brought it to his hands. Which is another way of saying that he killed by accident, killed the Sheikh. So the word ino over here means that Kadosh Baruch Hu caused it to happen. So the Ksav Kabbalah, very, very novel interpretation, suggests Ani is in fact one of the names of Hashem. It doesn't mean I am God. Ani Hashem means God is God. It's one of the names. We know Kadosh Baruch Hu has several names. Elohim, Yudke Vovke, Kael, several names. One of them says the Ksav Kabbalah is Ani. Why is Kadosh Baruch Hu called Ani? Like the word Ino. What does the word Ino mean? A cause. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the cause of what?
Everything.
Ani Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is about to release Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. After all these centuries of hard work, where it didn't seem to be on the outset as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu cared about Klal Yisrael, Chas V'Shalom. No, Ani Hashem. Hashem is the cause of all of this. The Ani, the word Ino, is the cause. Says the Ksav Kabbalah, quoting our Gemara, that's what it means. Imani Kan, who's Ani? Not, I mean, it's similar, but it's not the same. Not like Rashi is saying that he's speaking in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, he's not speaking in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Ani is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Im Ani Kan, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is here, then HaKadosh Kan, then it's all worth it. Im Ein Ani Kan, if it's a party which is devoid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, then Mikan, well, who's here? Nobody's done. Not worth the whole thing. So it's not the same as Rashi. The common denominator is that they both agree that Ani is a reference to Rashi, but Rashi says he's just, as it were, quoting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, speaking in his name. Whereas the Ksav HaKabbalah says, no, he's not quoting anybody, he's speaking, quoting himself. He's saying, Im Ani Kan, if the Ino, if the cause of everything, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here. In other words, if this is a simcha which is a simcha ruchni, and you bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu here, what does it mean if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here? I thought we used to sing as kids, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem is there, Hashem is there, Hashem is everywhere. The Kotzke Rebbe, as a young child in Chela, there was one sitting in his class, and the Rebbe asked him, children, he said, where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the Kotz Rebbe, as a young little child, said, wherever you allow him into, that's where he is. Wherever you allow HaKadosh Baruch Hu in, that's where he is. And if you, as far as you're concerned, there's some areas of life where HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't belong, cover your whole chas v'shalom, then he won't be there. Some people think, face it, when they're eating, this is not the time to talk Divrei Torah, it's time to talk politics and news. Right, so if you think this is a mundane activity of eating where HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't belong, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, fine, so I won't be there. That's what this means. Im Ani Kan, if you bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the simcha, in other words, it's not just a party, a juggling and fire throwing party, but rather it's a simcha shel mitzvah to celebrate, as we just mentioned before, being chayiz b'tshuva. You know, Sukkot is called Zman Simcha Stein. Why is it the Zman of the Simcha? What particular Simcha is it? So many Mepharshim explain it's the Simcha of having been chayiz b'tshuva. We've just gone through the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. That's why there's ecstasy, that for the natural follow-on from Yom Kippur is tremendous simcha. You've come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Come back. Chayza b'tshuva. So if this is what the celebration is all about, it's a real celebration of Ruchnias, then what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, fine. If that's what the celebration is about, then I'm here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all worth it. And if not, you can have a big party if you like. That's your prerogative. That's your choice. But then, it's all pointless. That's how the Ksav HaKabbalah very beautifully explains this piece of Gemara. Okay, let's continue. Says the Gemara. Who hoya aima? Who's who?
Hillel.
Again, Hillel. Hillel would say something else as well. Who hoya aima Cain used to say as follows. Lemokoim sha'ani oihev. To the place that I love, Shom Ragli Raglai Moilichois Oisi. It is to there that my feet transport me. A person's feet take him to where he wants to go. Im Ato Tovoi El Beisi. If you will come to my house, Ani Ovoyel Beischo, I will come to your house. Im Ato Loitovoyel Beisi, if you do not come to my house, Ani Loitovoyel Beischo, I will not come to your house either. This mamash reflects what we said before. Shenemar, as it says, the apostle in Shemois, B'chol amokrim asher azkir eshmi, wherever I pray, praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ever mention HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, Ovoy Eilecho Uberachticho, I will come to bless you. So this is mamash what we said before. Where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Wherever you bring him in. If you come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's house, which means you connect yourself to Hashem, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu connects himself to you. And if you don't, then he won't. But you have to be the one who initiates that kesher with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says Rashi. Okay, that's a whole girista. We'll go to the next Rashi, which is really on the next Gemara. Okay. So this is the phrase. Dovid HaMelech actually once said, famous Gemara, Raglai Moilichos Oisti LeBeis HaMedrash. My feet transport me to the Beis HaMedrash. What does that mean, my feet transport me to the Beis HaMedrash? As opposed to what? I don't drive it by car. It means that's my natural default position. Imagine you have a spring. Imagine you have a spring. You can pull it this way, you can pull it this way. But as soon as you let go, what does it do? It just reverts back to its natural position. You don't have to do anything. That's just its natural momentum. So Dovid HaMelech says, my feet naturally take me to the Beis HaMedrash. You have to remember, Dovid HaMelech was the Melech of Klal Yisrael. So he was busy Yoimum V'Laylo. It says he only slept a couple of hours a night. He was busy Yoimum V'Laylo taking charge of his Melucha. So when did he have time b'chal to go and learn? And yet Dovid HaMelech was the one who said in Tehillim, Achashalti Meis Hashem, Shifti B'Beis Hashem, Kolim Echaya, I just want to sit in the Beis Hashem. I'm not always able to do so because Kodesh Baruch Hu wants me to be the Melech. I have to take charge of the Melucha. But if I have a few minutes spare, then my feet just naturally spring. What's the natural position? What's the natural mokrim of my guf in the Beis HaMedrash? My feet automatically take me there. So we'll see in a moment. There'll be a continuation of this statement in Hillel. Now, afhu ro'o galgoyles achas. This is actually also a Mishnah in Ovos. It says the word. He once saw a galgoyles. What's a galgoyles? A skull. Shetzofo al pnei hamayim. That was floating on top of the water. Why was it floating there? Says Rashi. They had cut off his head, whoever this person was, and had thrown it into the water. The Hikir boy, Hillel, was able to recognize that this person who was killed was in fact a murderer. Upogu boy achshav listim. What's listim? Robbers, bandits. Bandits had been pegeya, had attacked him. Listim or kiyetze boy or something similar to that. In other words, this person was a murderer and fully deserved to be killed. In fact, he was killed not by Bezdin, but rather by a bunch of bandits. They cut off his head, this is rather gory stuff, and they then threw it into the water, and he now sees the skull floating in the water. So what did he exclaim when he saw that? Oh my Lord. So he said to the skull, Al di'itaft atfuch. Because you, the skull, was a murderer, therefore basically you got your comeuppance. You drowned others, so that's why now you yourself have been drowned. However, umetifayech, those who drowned you, you tufun will also be drowned. In other words, there's no justification, it's true, that you fully deserve to have been killed. there's no justification for the ones who killed you. And therefore, they will also one day have to be drowned themselves. That's what you're saying. So you drowned others, that's why you are now drowned. But those who drowned you are also going to have to din b'cheshbon. They themselves will also one day be drowned. No, because it depends how they're drowned. If they're drowned by other people, it doesn't say that they'll be drowned by other people. If they'll drown, they'll go one day swimming in the sea and they'll drown there. Now, Omar Rabbi Yechanan, Ragloi Devar Inish, the feet of a person. This is the continuation, as I said before. Raglohi, the feet, the bar inish of a human being. Inun Arevin Bey. What does Arevin mean? A guarantor. When you lend money, you have an Arev, which is a guarantor. So they are a person's guarantors. What does that mean? La'atar, to the place. The mitva'i, where he is, like we sometimes have in the Gemara, iboy elohu, or boy, like a question, or wanted. La'atar the mitva'i, to the place where he is wanted, to the place where he is summoned. Tamon, over there, my vilin yosei. His feet will bring him there. That's what it means, they're the guarantors. In other words, your feet will take you to wherever you need to be. Would you like it or not? So let's see how Rashi learns it. Firstly, on the previous piece. Omar Allah, Hillel said to this scowl, Al di taft atfuch, Al shehit saft. Because you drowned Galgoyles Shalachirim Bamayim, because you drowned other people's skulls in the water. Atfuch, what does that mean? Quote unquote, Atfuch, Hitzifuch Achirim Achshav. That's why others have now drowned you. Midah Keneged Midah. Lesoy matifayech yitzufun, ba'oid yovay yoyim, the day will yet come, v'yatsifu gulgaloisom shel elu shehargucha, and it will drown the skulls of those who killed you. This is what we call midah keneged midah. I think it's worth just pausing for a moment or two. We're all aware of Midah Keneged Midah. We see Midah Keneged Midah hundreds and hundreds of places in the Torah. In fact, there's a sefer written by some of you who lives in Ramat Beshemesh Aleph. I think his name is Rabbi Pestin, who's written a sefer called Midah Keneged Midah. It's going through the Torah where you see Midah Keneged Midah. And of course we see this in every parasha. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts Midah Keneged Midah. So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz in his sefer Sichas Musa explains the principle of Midah Keneged Midah. Because on a simple level, how do you understand Midah Keneged Midah? The punishment has to fit the crime. So if he drowns somebody else, it's only right that he himself is drowned. You get what you're given. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz explains that actually it's far deeper than that. It's not just the punishment has to fit the crime, this is what you deserve. You get what you give. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz explains the purpose of punishment is for what reason? It's for a person to be chayav of a tshuva. A person gets a punishment, and that's itself as an act of kapara, or as an impetus to go and be chayav of a tshuva. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes somebody, midah keneged midah, the nature of his Aveira is clearly demonstrated to him by the punishment. That's what it means with a connected mitzvah. Because on occasion, it's not entirely clear what exactly was the Aveira. But you can work backwards. If I see what the punishment is, that will demonstrate to me exactly what the nature of the Aveira is. And why is it important for me to know what the nature of the Aveira is? In order to be chosen. That's what it means, Mila Keneged Mila. It's not just the punishment fits the crime. Well, this is what you did, this is what you deserve. Ayin tachas ayin, an eye for an eye. No. Rather, what it means is, if the whole purpose of the oynish is to be praised of a tshuva, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends you an email telling you this was the nature of the Aveira, this was the point of the Aveira. How does he send you that email? Via the punishment. Midor Keneged Midor. Now, we have to ask, and Chaim Shmulevitz himself does ask, how does that make sense, for example, over here? The guy's already dead. He was killed. So he drowned, and therefore he got drowned. Fine, I see the parallel. But how can you say that's in order for him to go and be chosen with tshuva now for drowning people when he's just gonna die? It's too late. So Chaim Shmulevitz explains, and he brings proofs, several proofs, that sometimes the purpose of a punishment is not just that he should be chosen with tshuva, but for other people to be chosen with tshuva, or for other people to refrain from avirah. Like the Torah says, when somebody is killed, it says, "Kol ha'om yishmu v'yirau." They will all hear and see, "V'lo yizidun oid," and they won't sin in that way. What will they not do? How should they know what not to do? The answer is again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will clearly demonstrate to them what the nature of this crime was, so that the other people can also learn a lesson from it. So not just that the Rasha himself can learn a lesson, but on occasion that others can learn a lesson as well. So according to Chaim Shmulevitz, Mida Keneged Mida is not just a simple understanding the punishment has to fit the crime. You get whatever you did. Rather, it's deeper. It's as a mechanism for clearly demonstrating how HaKadosh Baruch Hu views the nature of the Aveira. Now, I guess, on some occasions, of course, it's clear. Somebody drowned somebody else. I guess it's pretty obvious what the Aveira was. So he gets drowned as well. But sometimes it's not so obvious. You have to struggle sometimes to work out why he's in Midah and Megah and Midah. But that's the answer. Okay. Now, Rabbi Yochanan followed this up by saying that a person's legs and feet are his guarantors because they will transport him to wherever he needs to be. What does that mean when he needs to be? Says Rashi, La'atar d'mitzvoy, L'mokoyim shenigzar olov, L'omus boy. To the place where it has been decreed upon him that he's going to die there. Mishom hu misbakish. It'll be from them that he is requested, as it were, litoel nishmosto, to take his neshama. So every person has a place where it has been predestined, that is where he will die. That is where his neshama will be removed. So what happens? Tamon mayvilin yosei l'shom raglov maylicha yisrael. His feet will take him there. In other words, there's no escape. There's no escape. If a person is predestined to die in a particular place, you can be assured that he'll end up in that place. When we hear of a tragic circumstance that somebody was just so happened, quote unquote, to be not in the right place in the right time, but in the wrong place at the wrong time, we believe in Hashgacha Pratis. That was all predestined. So how come he just so decided to take that particular path, or that particular flight, or to go to that particular store, and then Chas v'Shalom, something terrible happened, and he got killed? That was all predestined by Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why his feet took him there. Why did he think of going to that store? He never goes to that store. He always goes to a different store. Yeah, it's all divinely orchestrated. Okay, says the Gemara. Hanhu tarati kushoi. Now, what does kushoi mean? Kushoi, we normally describe or translate kushi as a black person. But the Torah, when talking about Tzipora, the wife of Moshe, describes her as the Isha Kushis. And one of the Pirushim in Rashi is that it is a reference to beauty. And that's what Rashi says over here as well. Rashi says, Trei Kushoi, Al Shem Shohoyu Yofim. Because they were handsome, that's why Kori Luhu Hochi, that's why they were called Kushoi. So there were these two Kushim, these two handsome people. The Havakaimi Kami Shloimeh, who were standing in front of Shloimeh HaMelech. In other words, they attended, they were his slaves or they were his assistants. Who were they? Eli Choyre V'Achio B'nei Shisho Seifrim de Shloimeh HaMelech. Two brothers, Eli Choyre and Achio, the sons of Shisho, scribes of Shloimeh HaMelech. Now, Yoim Achad, one day, Chazye leMalach HaMoves, Shloimeh HaMelech saw the Malach HaMoves, the angel of death. To have a ka'otzim, he was rather down in the dumps. The angel of death was upset about something. Omalei, so he said to him, Amaya Tivas, why are you so upset? Cheer up, angel of death. Omalei, so the Malach HaMoves responded, the Kabo'u Minoi, Hani Tarata Kushoi de Yosve Hocha. Because these two Kushoim are demanded. What does it mean, are demanded? Hashem wants to kill them. Their time has come. I've got to kill them. I've been sentenced, I've been charged to go and kill them. And therefore, why is he upset? Because he has managed. He's unable for some reason to kill them. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Eli Choyre Fa'achia. Pasuk Huba Melachim is the Pasuk in Sefer Melachim. So you say for him, Leshleimai, there were scribes to Shleimai Melech. The Kabo'u Minoi Eilu. These two people, Misbakshim Mimeni Lamailo. They've been demanded upstairs. Their time has come. Shehigia Zmanom Lomus. Their time has come to die. But he was unable to take them. Why? Because the decree to kill them was what? Ki'im b'sha'ar luz. Only in the gates of Luz. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only predestined the time of death, but also the place. So the Malach HaMoves is very upset. He says, listen, the time has come. But the place, which is Sha'ar Luz, They haven't gone to lose, so I can't kill them. We need to get them to lose somehow. That's why he's very upset that he couldn't be Makayim. He's simply from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Gemara, Masrinu Lasi'irin. Shadrinu Lemachoyza Velulis. So he handed them over to the spirits, the demons, and sent them to the town of Luz. Now, there is a whole description as Rashi tells us Luz, for whatever reason, is a place where the Malach HaMavet has no power. So Shlomo HaMelech thought to himself, ah, wonderful. Let's deliberately send these people to Luz, sent there by the demons, and that way they'll escape death, because it's a no-go area for the Malach HaMavet. Says Rashi, Mosrinu Shlomo Lasirim Mashedim, to the demons. What power did he have over the demons? He was the king of the demons as well. Kedikstiv, as it is written in Divrei HaYomim, Vayeshev Shlomo al Kisei Hashem Lamelech, Shemolach, he reigned al Elyonim v'al HaTachtonim. What does that mean, al Elyonim v'al HaTachtonim? Right, not only the lower world human beings, but also the lofty beings. In other words, he was the Melech of the Shadim, so he could order them at will. Says Rashi, Amtinu l'muchuzda d'lud, Ir she'ein Malach HaMavet shoylet b'seicha. It is a town where the Malach HaMavet has no shlita, has no dominion, because I mean a b'seicha. So what happened? Tragic ending. When they eventually reached Luz, Kimotu l'mechuzo de Luz. When they eventually got to the towns of Luz, guess what happened? Shivu. They died. How did he kill them? He killed them just before the end of Luz, by the Shar of Luz. He has no shlita in Luz. By the Shar of Luz, he's got shlita. Next day, Lamochov Hazi Malach HaMavet. Shlomo HaMelech once again saw the Malach HaMavet. The Kabodach. What does Bodach mean? Like a bedicha. He's very happy. He's very cheerful. Omalei amai bedichas. Why is he so happy? Omalei ba'atar zubo'u minoi. From the very place where they were supposed to be taken. Thank you very much. Tamon. Over there, shadritinu. That's where you sent them. Thank you very much for helping me. So it ends up that Shlomo HaMelech actually sent them to their death. Says Rash. So now carry on the Gemara. Miyad posach Shlomo. So immediately Shlomo HaMelech began saying, "V'omar ragloi devar inush inun arevim bay." You see that the feet of a person are his guarantors. La'atar zemitvei tamon mevilim. You'll say to the place that he's required, he's going to die. He'll be taken there by hook or by crook. In other words, who would have thought, whilst I was trying to save them, in fact, I unwittingly sent them to their death. You see, that if you're supposed to be there, you're going to get there. Says Rashi, Arevin bay lashomayim, meshalmin arvusam, they pay their guarantor, or their guarantee. What do you mean they pay? In other words, they'll make sure you get there. And they will transport him to the place that he's supposed to be. So rather than saying Chas v'Shalom, oh, what a terrible accident, oh, shame he went to place A, B, or C, and that's why he got killed, to the contrary. Because he was supposed to be killed, that's why he ended up in that place. And how did he end up? The feet of a person of his guarantors, they will take him there. Why will they take him there? Because that's exactly the point. Okay, we'll hold it over here. Now we have a bit of an odd week next week. Unfortunately, or fortunately, I have to have a little bit of a procedural analysis for next week. That's taking place on Wednesday, and I have to be in hospital overnight until Thursday. On Sunday, I have to go in for the whole trip. Otherwise, 3 days before, but I have to go on Sunday. So I can't learn on Sunday, and I can't learn on Wednesday, and Thursday, I'll be in hospital. But Monday and Tuesday, I could do. I know we don't normally learn on Tuesdays, but I could do this week. Monday and Tuesday is okay? Either day is good?
Monday is fine. Tuesday I have to show up over there.
That's a new house. Okay, Monday, Tuesday, Sunday, but I should be in hospital. So I won't be able to learn this. So let's shoot for Monday and Tuesday? Monday, Tuesday.
Amen.